Hey there, kids. This is Rish Outfield, and this is the Rish Outcast. I often record these things, and then months go by before I post them. And in fact, there was one that I was pretty sure I posted, like, back in February or March. And I looked, and it still hasn't been posted, so it was over a year since I recorded it and still wasn't posted. I ought to be posting that instead of this one, but I figured I'd do what I want, like it's my show or something. Isn't that weird? I live fairly close to a lot of really cool places, national monuments, parks, landmarks, that kind of thing. There's a lake that's nearby I did an episode from. Don't imagine that's seen the light of day yet either. Several mountains, you know, streams, and there's some caves that aren't far at the top of a mountain. I don't know, less than an hour away, and I've never gone there. Never. And so my sister's family and I all decided to go up on a Friday afternoon. She had gone to an appointment that morning, and I was in charge of the kids, and they all ate like pancakes or something like that. And I didn't eat anything because we were all going to go out to eat after we went to the caves. Which sounds like it's not an important detail, and maybe it isn't. But the hike is, well, it was 3 miles, which isn't terrible, but it is terrible if it's up a mountain, right? And, oh gosh, let me go back. There is actually a mountain that's really close. You know, I can see, I can see it from where I'm sitting here, but the wrong angle. Like 7-8 minutes from here, you can drive to, well, the base of the mountain. And there's just a little farther than that, there's a place where you can park and then just walk. You can hike. And it's this beautiful view. And I'm sure so many, how do I put it? So many babies have been conceived from this view. But this particular one you have to hike to. And a couple years ago, I said to my uncle, gosh, we ought to go up, you know, like some Sunday afternoon or something like that and just hike that. And he's like, are you kidding me? If you tried to hike that, you would die. And that really bugged me. It angered me that he would say that because he's heavier than I am. I mean, maybe he's tougher, but still, for him to say that I would die, geez. So I always resented that. And then here we are going on another hike. Including children, you know, including my sister who's had such a bad knee that she actually had to have the kneecap or the bone of a corpse surgically implanted to replace her knee. She was going as well. Anyway, we started hiking, and it was arduous. Quarter mile or so, there would be benches, places where people could sit down. And, you know, we were told to take lots of water. I took 3 bottles of water, thinking, you know, that would be enough for me and the kids. Oh, and one more little segue here, and you'll see where I'm going with this. On the most recent episode of the Dune Steve, it's a zombie story. And in the story, a guy gets bitten by a zombie. And he hides it from the rest of his team, because that's what you do. I mean, and that's how the story puts it. Yeah, well, of course you wouldn't tell your friends, because they'd look at you with suspicion. They'd you know, wait for you to change so they could kill you. There's all sorts of justification as to why you wouldn't tell them that you've been bitten by the zombie. And that sort of struck me when we read the story as just, you know, I guess that's human nature. It seems really stupid. But anyway, as we started walking up the hill, the mountain, I started finding myself really, really out of breath. I found myself having a hard time getting air into my lungs and sweating like crazy. And I was like, well, I'm going to be tough. I'm going to make it. I can do this. But as we got farther and farther, we got to the halfway point, and I was still there. I was sweating a lot and sitting down and resting. You know, luckily my sister has this knee problem, and so she was happy to sit and rest too, and I would take advantage of those moments. Anyway, we got to about the three-quarters mark, and maybe not even that. And there were places where you're not supposed to stop because of falling rocks, and they had signs up. And we were walking through one of these places, and suddenly I just didn't care. I didn't care anymore. I was like, you know, I've got to sit down. And she said, oh, yeah? Are you all right? And I said, sure, I'm all right. And it struck me that this is how the guy who got bitten by the zombie acts. Yeah, well, I'm fine. Are you sure? You look a little green. No, I'm fine. Must have been something I ate. So I sat down on this place, and she's like, hey, we're not supposed to sit down here, you know. And I said, yeah, it's okay. Just leave me a minute. And suddenly I was dizzy. Like really dizzy. Like so dizzy where I was just like, oh gosh, I wonder if I'm going to throw up. Holy cow. And I knew that the world wasn't spinning, but I was spinning. And I looked down at my hands, and even though they looked normal, they were tingling. And they felt like they had, you know, swollen up to sausages size. Both of them. And my arms were tingling. And I said to her, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. And she thought I was joking. But a second after that, I guess I stood up and started to stumble toward the edge of the trail, which is, you know, really sharp drop. And, you know, I'm sure many people have died on it. And she grabbed me. And she's like, what are you doing? And I don't remember her saying that. She grabbed me and I sat down just right on the trail on my butt and said, I don't know. And so other hikers heard her say, what are you doing? And like stopped and they came back, and suddenly I was surrounded by a bunch of strangers, and I looked up and I didn't know who they were. And one of them said, here, have some water. And I said, this isn't my water. Whose water is this? I guess I was out of it. I was, what's the word? Confused, I guess, is an easy way to put it. But I sat there for a long time, and I drank this water, all of it, and somebody gave me a piece of candy, again, a stranger, and I ate it. And meanwhile, like, my sister's husband and one of her kids came down to see what had happened, where we'd gone, and they stood around and were just wondering what was going on, why I was sitting in the middle of the trail. And she said, well, you know, should we go back? And I didn't want to go back, and I didn't want to slow people down, and I didn't want to be a problem. But, yeah, I guess I had some kind of episode. So I said to her, you know, just give me a minute. I'll be okay. And I sort of forced myself eventually to stand up and to walk much slower this time the rest of the way up the mountain, up the trail. And yeah, every single time there were benches, and a couple times when there weren't, I would stop and I would rest, because I just couldn't exert myself again like that. And when we reached the top, I was really sweaty, really, you know, warm. And I drank all three of my waters, in addition to the one that the stranger gave me. I thought that was really interesting. But after that, we went and we explored these caves. And when we came out the other side, I was fine. In fact, I carried my nephew on my shoulders for a little while until my arms started to tingle again. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to put you down now. And he's like, no. And I was like, yep, I'm going to put you down. These caves were really private, really regulated. You had to have a tour guide. You had to pay a tour guide to walk you through them. We were in a group with a family that had a bunch of teenage boys. I don't know if they were brothers. No, you don't act that way around brothers. They must have been cousins or friends. But there was so much grab-assing and dicking around. And I mean, I guess that's to be expected, because we live in a world with other people. But yeah, one of them just kept going on and on about, last time we were up here, they told this story and they said this. And it's like, oh, Pokemon Go. And I don't know. I found that irritating. Oh, another thing was that the cave was cold. You know, we'd gotten up there, and I was just drenched in sweat. If I hadn't said that already, yeah, really sweaty. My brother-in-law is bald, and he was really, really sweaty. I don't know what baldness has to do with anything. Why did I tell you that? Sorry. Announcer man cut. Oh, there was no announcer man. It was really cold in the cave. So cold that they had told us, look, you're going to want to bring a jacket. And I thought, in August, we're going to want to bring a jacket. Again, August. It was very hot. I don't know if I told you that. Very hot and sunny and, yeah. So I guess I'm lucky that I survived. But I hadn't seen this cave before, and I went in there, and I had a lot of questions for the guide. You weren't allowed to touch anything, or they didn't want you to, because Pokemon Go is really, really dirty. No, because I guess there are lots of oils in people's fingers, and that's going to... I honestly don't know what the oils in people's fingers would do to stalactites and stalagmites and dripping columns and little underground pools. But it was really cold in there and really, really dark. They had installed all sorts of electric lights that were on a timer. And so they would go on when the tour would go through and then shut off afterward. And at one point, the tour guide said, I'm going to turn off the lights so you can see how dark it is in this cave. And, you know, I want everybody to wave their hand in front of their face and see if you can see it. And so, of course, the little dumbasses said that they could. But yeah, it was exquisitely dark. And exquisitely, is that the word I'm looking for? Geez, I don't know. But yeah, he shut off all the lights and it was just absolute darkness. And it jumped into my head to say, a Donald Trump presidency, ladies and gentlemen. But it's very likely that half the people on our tour would not have found that funny. If I had to do it over again, I would have, just because it would make the story interesting, the kind of reaction that I got. But the cave was neat, and there were like places where it branched off, and they didn't want you to go that way. There was a path for the tour, and that was you know, where we were all supposed to go, and we were all supposed to stay together. But it would have been easy to go off and leave the others and just sort of explore. Because, you know, it's the 21st century. Everybody has these devices that you use to play Pokemon Go that also work as flashlights. I wasn't going to say anything about the actual caves because the story was about me becoming a zombie, right? I could have said something. I could have said, guys, I don't feel so well. I don't. Would somebody keep an eye on me? Or boy, I'm feeling strange. Does this look infected? You know, that kind of thing. And I didn't do it. That was what I wanted to talk about. But, you know, we got up there and I might as well say something about the caves. We took a few pictures, but the pictures... You need a certain amount of light for pictures to come out right. And, you know, the flash on the pictures would illuminate something right in front of it. And area in the back would be dark. And, you know, I took a couple pictures of my nephews and their faces are super, super washed out. And you don't really see what's behind them. I don't know. Oh, one other thing, though, was that they said that, you know, there might be bats. And yeah, I got it in my head. I really wanted to see bats. And I think I got it into my nephew's heads too, because we're all disappointed that there were no bats. And I think that the tour guide had said, well, sometimes on the very last tour of the day, you know, we'll see them because bats are nocturnal. And when the sun goes down, they start to wake up and, you know, they're going to go feed or whatever that they do. But
you don't want to be walking that trail at night. And so they shut everything down fairly early. You know, I think the last tour is at like 6:45 or 7. Anyway, we were in there for 20 minutes, half hour, maybe even longer than that. And the tour guide did his best, but it was an uphill climb, no pun intended, for this guy because of the shits that were in our group. I remember being a kid and feeling like I had to be the clown or the smartass or whatever. And I remember adults getting really angry at me and my friends, but let's say at me, and, you know, having to go to the principal's office. Or I remember we were in church and one of the Sunday school teachers called us a bunch of little bastards and stood up and left and wouldn't teach us anymore about the angel of death passing over, you know, the Israelites and the marks they'd made with blood on their doors. I guess all of this is a digression. I'm sorry. But the caves were neat. We went to the caves. We all had to put on jackets. I pity the people that didn't put on jackets. And then, you know, as soon as we emerged from the other side, we're hit with heat once again, and the jackets immediately come off. And by the time you've walked half the way, you know, even a quarter of the way, you're sweating again. So that was it. I think I had a moral to the story. And maybe it was the whole zombie thing of not telling people, because I knew something was wrong early on, and I hadn't told them, you know, that I had an empty stomach. I hadn't told them anything about, you know, I hadn't told them I was fat. Oof. But I guess you can go back to my uncle saying, "You die," you know, if you want to go back to that. So this has been a very short Rish Outcast for you. Hike safely.
For your information, the podcast you have just suffered through was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license.
You ready, sir?
I'm always ready.
Okay.
He said, "Let's get out of this town, drive out of the city, away from the crowds. I thought heaven can't help me now. Nothing lasts forever. But this is gonna take me down. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. I can see the end as it begins. My one condition is, say you'll remember me. Standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Wildest dreams. I said, no one has to know what we do. His hands are in my hair, his clothes are in my room, and his voice is a familiar sound. Nothing lasts forever. But this is getting good now. He's so tall and handsome as hell. He's so bad, but he does it so well. And when we've had our very last kiss, my last request is, say you remember me. Standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks. Say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. Wildest dreams. You see me in hindsight, tangled up with you all night, burning it down. Someday when you leave me, I bet these memories follow you around. You see me in hindsight, tangled up with you all night, burning it down. Someday when you leave me, I bet these memories follow you around. Say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset. Red lips and rosy cheeks, say you'll see me again, even if it's just pretend. Say you'll remember me, standing in a nice dress, staring at the sunset, babe. Red lips and rosy cheeks, say you'll see me again, even if it's just in your wildest dreams. In your wildest dreams, even if it's just in your wildest dreams, wildest dreams, I kissed a girl, and I liked it.